The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, right in Delaware Valley, welcome to the Andrew and Kristen Show here on WWDB Talk 860, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Fantastic show. Lots to talk about. We have Morgan and Morgan in the house. Hannah, I'm going to take a shot at the Molitoris.
Oh, that was so good for a first try.
I got it.
You crushed it. You got it right.
All right. I was working on it for the last 3 hours. Molitoris. And of course, we have Alexis Crandall in the house. How are you, Alexis?
I'm good. Happy Monday, everyone.
Oh, yeah. It is a happy Monday.
It is.
And of course, we have Andrea Sasso in the house. How are you, Andrea?
Joe, I'm okay.
I know you are.
I can't help but notice the color shirt you selected to wear today. Well, trying to rub it in.
So, you know, and by the way, Kristen Buttle, she's not with us today. She's got... She had some actual
pressing legal work that couldn't be.
Right.
Usually this is the priority, Joe, but once in a while.
Right. I got you. So we have to let people know that what we talk about is actually true. Yeah, they do practice law.
right, that's true.
But keep one thing in mind. When you're not at the show, it's about you. So any dirt we can get on Kristen Buttle in the next hour, we're going to be throwing it all over the air. She'll get her priorities straight the next time, don't you think?
I think she will. You know what, though? I got to say, it's probably much easier to bash me when I'm not here than it is to bash Kristen. Because
which, by the way, we did.
She's a good human.
But you were on, you were out of the country, right?
I was in Italy last month.
Fantastic.
Amazing. So, yeah.
What were you doing in Italy?
I was drinking wine and eating carbs.
Woo! I saw it on CNN. There was an issue in Italy, and it was
a fight Andrew at the Prada store.
That's right.
A wine shortage.
Suddenly,
we were checking out our wedding venue, Joe.
I know you
and
were.
And then I went to Rome for the first time.
Wow!
I had never been to Rome. What kind of Italian am I?
Well, you know that you've been. How was it, by the way?
Excellent. And the venue is prettier in person, so we're really excited.
When is the big day?
May 22nd.
And yours is?
April 12th.
Yeah, Alexis and I were just
cashing
out our to-do list.
And my divorce is official on, I'm just kidding.
That's cause for celebration as well,
Jess. Yes, for most people. Hannah, if you would, a little bit about yourself and the firm, just in case somebody's living on a desert island under a rock.
And they've never seen the billboards, the buses.
I can't even say some of the things, right. Well, I can't even say some of those billboard taglines, right? Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
So I am recently a partner in the Philadelphia office of Morgan & Morgan.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
I handle mostly catastrophic cases. My practice has kind of specialized over the years into trucking. So most of the cases that I'm dealing with are individuals that have been injured by someone that's operating a tractor trailer.
And it's amazing. I've done some of those shows. I've done some shows on that. Man, oh man. Not that there's a garden variety automobile accident. And anybody's been on TikTok, thoughts and prayers to that guy in the truck in Richmond, man. My God, four kids and blew a light and then ran. When I say kids, they said they were teenagers. They haven't caught them yet, but I was just the guy's in critical condition, thoughts and prayers. But when you talk about these trucking accidents, there's a ton of potential negligent parties. We're going to get into all that. Alexis Crandall, if you would, a little bit about yourself and Weinemann Pain and Wellness.
Yeah, so my name's Alexis. I'm from the Director of Marketing of Weinemann Pain and Wellness. We handle chiropractic care, physical therapy, pain management, and then we just added a psychologist onto our team, which we're super excited about.
Awesome. Fantastic. That wasn't just for me, right, with the radio?
Yeah, it's actually for me.
Right. Well, we're going to give her, whoever the psychologist, and I know who it is, we're going to give her some extra work. She's going to be working a lot of overtime on this side of the table.
After you guys leave the radio show, everybody can go check
that's
out.
That's right. Yeah. it'll be one of those scenes in a movie where she just walks out staring into space after I'm done, like, I had enough. Take that contract, and I'm going to need my own therapist. Andrea Sasso, if you will, a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Andrea Sasso from Stampone O'Brien Dilsheimer Holloway Law Firm. We handle every kind of, you know, personal injury case that you might think of, car accidents, slip and falls, catastrophic injuries. I do a lot of construction cases. I do a lot of dram shop actions, medical malpractice, anything like that. We are the right call to make.
Okay, so having said that, you know, lots to talk about. We're going to get into all that stuff. But you were mentioning earlier, Hannah, what you were doing yesterday about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was just thinking, like, if I was on the stand, you know how, like, I never know how that works. Like, what were you doing on February 20th, 1995, or what? How, I don't know how you do it, but 2022 or whatever. I don't know. Ask me what I was doing yesterday.
What were you doing
yesterday? I remember what I was doing yesterday.
It's important.
I was in front of that TV with my wife and not knowing where this was going to go. But having watched Hard Knocks, I was sitting there thinking to myself, man, this could go either this could go in a bad way. And what were you doing yesterday, Andrea? Coolest show ever was when her dad called in. He's just an awesome guy. We have a lot of fun.
A lot of the reason that I need a psychiatrist these days or a psychologist.
But yesterday,
we told the story about how my dad and I met Phil Simms at Giants training camp because I'm the only child and I'm the only girl. So my mom always said, take her. So I went to every Giants game with my dad growing up.
Because you lived in where did
you? Right. We're from North Jersey. My dad's from North Jersey, Central Jersey. I'm from Monmouth County, which we'll get to. So is Hannah. And somehow she's not a Giant fan, but I had no choice. My dad brought me to training camp. I was like 6 years old. We met Phil Simms coming out of camp, and my dad said, Phil, I have something in the car I'd like you to sign. And he looks at him, and he leaves me with Phil Simms while he runs to the car to get the thing for him to sign. And he runs back. So that's the famous story. We had him call in.
What she's not mentioning is she said, Phil, you're going to need some work on your play action. You got to really sell that fake in order for the defense to bite.
I didn't. It was the year after they won the Super Bowl.
I know. Well, by the way, that's good advice, just so you know.
Got it.
I'm just telling you, you were a genius.
Why don't you call one of our current quarterbacks and relay that information? Which quarterback will it be?
You see the game yesterday, Alexis?
Oh, of course
you did.
Of course.
I was a little worried. How about you, Hannah? I was a little worried about Hurts yesterday at the beginning. I was just a little like...
The defense on the Giants looked really good in like the first 4 minutes. Like,
well,
what was happening?
It is.
Actually, they had a lot of sacks in the first half.
Yeah.
But...
You know, and you're from Monmouth County?
Originally, yes.
And how originally? Like, when did you move from there?
So I moved here for law school. I went to Drexel University,
yes,
which is now the Thomas R. Klein School of Law in Drexel. I didn't have any real connections to Philadelphia, and I've been here ever since. So I've been here for almost 10 years now. So am I a local yet, maybe?
Well,
I would say yes.
Would you say yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. Yeah. Well, if you somehow switched allegiances from the Giants to the Eagles, yes, absolutely.
I think that my husband would be very, very upset about that.
Is your husband from Philly?
So my husband is from Bucks County, but he's currently deployed in Germany.
Oh, shout out to him.
With the Army. And I have to tell you, the coolest part about watching the games is seeing all of these soldiers abroad.
That's awesome.
With their giant screens. And obviously, there's a six-hour time difference, right? So he's getting ready for bed, but all these guys are wired, and they're ready to go.
Yeah,
and he'll send me videos of them screaming at the screen.
Yeah. Oh.
So the Eagles' pride is not only here, but it's around the world.
Oh, yeah. And I, listen, I'm I love that the banter back and forth. I got friends that are Dallas fans and all that. And, you know, certainly yesterday was a crazy game. I mean, you know what got me yesterday? The quarterback from the Giants, what's his name?
Daniel Jones.
He's not as bad as people say. The offensive line, he can't get a pass off.
No, it's not on him. So when my father and I did our debrief last night,
yeah,
we couldn't even talk during the game. It was too upsetting.
Yeah.
I think.
So, were you together or no?
No.
Yeah,
but several hours went by. We talked on the phone last night about 9 o'clock when we calmed down. And
yeah,
and I said, you know, what were they doing? Then they're replacing Jones. He wasn't playing that bad. He has no line.
He's got no line. And what's weird is they spent some money on it. Keep this in mind when it comes to the – so, I mean, we all remember the Super Bowl that we won. Now, I have a close – my niece's husband, Joey Santiago, he's a veteran. Shout out to Joey. But a big Giants fan. And when we were going to the Super Bowl, when we finally won one, he said to me, I just don't want you to win because I don't want you to be able to say you won one. Jeez. And I kind of laugh because I'm like, man, they really must hate us. Because before that, the Super Bowl, I used to count the, you know, I just would turn on the Miracle on the Meadowlands 2 when DeSean Jackson ran the Super. Mm-hmm. Thank God for that one. But what I guess what I'm saying is we got one. The Giants have four.
We still get to say, oh, which Super Bowl victory are you referring to, Joe?
You know, you
we
got
have several. I was alive for all four.
I know you were. Okay, I just want to say one thing about that. I'm going to equate this. I've said on the air probably before the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I just wanted to see one. And so I've said to my wife about 10,000 times, just Sunday, when we were getting crushed against Tampa Bay, at least we got one. Because the despair was so great when you just didn't have one. So it's like this. It's like when you get married, okay, and you want to have, kids. If you have one, you know, you could live with that. You know, I mean, or you have 10. Either way, you got a family. So, you know, like, bring on Tom Brady.
No difference between 10 kids and one kid at all.
Yeah. I got a family.
Not a difference.
The amount of effort.
I'm just making a point. Now when I see somebody from Pittsburgh, I'm like, between us, we have 8 Super Bowls, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was cool to see us win.
Again, I chose to live here. I understand. I'll take it. It's fine. I was hoping, because I watched Hard Knocks, and I became, like, fond of the administration. I believe that they were doing something there. And I was just like, oh, don't let Saquon run all over us.
It's all over. It's all over reels and now, yeah. Now the owner of the team going, I just don't think I can handle him going to Philadelphia. Right now, of course, everybody's a professional editor. You know, they go through the whole. It was, first of all, I would never, if I'm any organization and I watch that, nobody gets it. If I'm the GM, nobody gets in my office. Like, what you're thinking behind it, you're going to, and I, listen, Saquon Barkley, that guy is, I knew he was good. I saw him at Penn State, but I didn't pay that much attention. But I wanted him in the draft, and the Giants got him, and he ran all over us several times. But just the whole thing was insane. And yesterday it was, he's got class. I mean, he didn't really dig it in, and he's got a lot of friends on the Giants. I mean, they're all great friends.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for him, and he was classy. Yeah. I don't know if you read the article. They said that he got pulled over and said, you know, you're 13 yards away from crushing your goal. Right.
Let the other guys eat.
You want to go in, and he said, let the other guys eat. He didn't care, and that's you can't be mad at a guy like that.
Well,
and the Giants in another world, if we had a line and we had, I don't know, spent our money not on bad quarterbacks, maybe we could have afforded to pay him. And I don't know that we would have even been much better with him. It's a whole team rebuild thing that needs to be done. So.
Listen, in any NFL, so many people get hurt. Okay, so many. They took Jones out because they're like, it's 28-7, even though there was a decent amount of time left. But the NFL is such a, you know, an incredibly brutal game. I mean, you have such, you know, so anybody can get hurt. I mean, anybody, I don't, like, Hurts is not the same quarterback that he was a couple years ago.
Right. No.
No, and like, I wonder, and that's after he got paid, he's a lot shyer now. In the pocket, he's, like, going right down. He's like, you know, and so I don't know if you talked to your husband about that, but I'm just saying, I'd like to get anybody's opinion on it.
Well, how about the opinion of Go Yankees?
How about that? Ugh. That's a good opinion. Listen, this is
the only reason my father, is still somewhat sane.
Look at this. I sent this text to my niece yesterday during the game. My niece, married to Joey Santiago, she's a, you know, like, really massive personality, and she loves all, you know, the Eagles, right? So here was my text. Everything okay over there, right? Her answer is, for me it is. I said, oh boy. I said, do not mention Barkley's name after the game. And her answer was, he has the Yankees, he'll recover quick. I don't think he expected much from the Giants.
This is true.
So you got a point. That World Series is going to be a war. Anybody into baseball at all?
I am, but unfortunately, once the Phillies were out, I stopped.
Okay.
I don't even know.
The Yankees and the Dodgers. This is their 12th time playing in the history of the game. In the World Series, yeah, 12 times.
I don't know that stat.
It's the most frequently played World Series. Here's what I'm going to do right now, because I like to keep everything. I want to keep everything. I'm going to ask Hannah, what do you think the proper batting order for the Dodgers should be and the Yankees? Let's go one, two.
I was told there was going to be no trick questions.
You thought the law was hard enough, didn't you?
If it was the Phillies, though, I think we could all do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know we could do it, although baseball is the weirdest game. It is the weirdest game, 162 games. If you're a Hall of Fame manager, Jim Leland just got in the Hall of Fame. He managed like 20-some years. Not one year did he win 100 games. He's a great manager, deserves to be. I guess that means that, think about it, you're going to lose. You're going to lose a minimum of 65 times a year.
Yeah.
I mean, and you got to come back and just forget about it. It's crazy. Imagine if you had that record in court. It'd be over.
You'd be done.
Exactly.
Right.
So anyway, you know, we're looking forward to the World Series. They got everybody's got like 5 days off, so we'll see what happens. So let's talk a little bit of law. Talk a little bit about John Morgan and Morgan and Morgan. I had a show with Pond the Hockey with Sam Pond, and we John did the show, okay, but he called in from I think you know where it was obviously remote. And I have almost, I think it was maybe the only show I've ever missed in 10 years, because I got an infection in my knee and I was in the hospital, and I was at Woman's Medical Hospital, and I just went in there to get like a shot, and they're like, you're not going anywhere. And I'll never forget this. I'm looking up at the TV, and we happen to have John on. Sam did the show with John, and it was talking about medical malpractice and accidents, and he gave us, here I am in the hospital, and the hospital I was in doesn't have the greatest reputation. I got transferred to Lankinol, and I got the surgery, but I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the TV, and there goes John Morgan, and I hear him give the statistics about medical malpractice, and I said to my wife, she was trying to get me out of there, and I'm like, all right, I'll go. You
know? You're like, this is weirdly timed. I got to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was weirdly timed.
I can't ignore the universe anymore.
No question about it. So anyway, you became a partner. Talk about that. How long have you been with Morgan & Morgan?
So I started out as the first associate that Morgan & Morgan hired in Philadelphia with Clancy Boylan, who I understand has also been on the show before.
Yes, Clancy Boylan.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the development of just Morgan & Morgan in Philly. It started with Clancy by himself, right?
Correct.
And then he hired you.
Yes, I was number two.
Get out of here.
In the batting order.
Oh, yes. That is fantastic. Yes.
Yeah. Now wait, let her keep going to where they are now.
Great.
I think that we're up to almost 20 attorneys, maybe more than that. We definitely have over 100 staff. And it's just been incredible to kind of watch the growth within the 5 years that I've been with the firm and kind of where we are versus where we started.
Clancy, he's about 5 foot tall, 285, right?
He needs to wear high heels to walk around.
Super right. Italian guy.
Yeah.
He's never been Irish
whatsoever. Right now, not at all. We're just kidding, Clancy. Anybody over 5'8", I got a problem with. So, but anyway.
Oh, my God.
Good thing that none of the women in this room, I think, are over or under 5'8".
Oh, really? Yeah. That's why I come over. No shows on location. That's fantastic. That's awesome.
It's just such a great growth opportunity. I started out my career working as a public defender here in Philadelphia.
I saw that.
And it was an incredible experience, and I learned so many things from so many incredible attorneys while I worked as a public defender. And then through my coaching of the mock trial team at Drexel, I met Clancy, and he was looking for an associate. And he said, do you want to do civil law? And I said, what is a tort? And he said, great, you're hired. So I started working with him with no kind of civil experience whatsoever, and then now, you know, I am the only female partner in our Philadelphia office, which is a pretty incredible privilege.
When did you become the
congratulations?
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, that's thank you. Incredible.
I wish that in 2024 that wasn't such a big deal, but it I really know. Is.
I got the offer in September, so it's rather new.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Now, where's the Morgan & Morgan office in Philly?
We're in the same building as Pond La Hockey. So,
oh, okay.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
We just expanded to, now we have two floors. So we have the third floor and the sixth floor at, I think it's One Commerce.
Yeah, it's One Commerce. That's correct.
I will say something. I think pretty early on in Hannah's employment, we know Clancy for years, just, you know, a bunch, everybody kind of knows each other in Philly, the plaintiff's bar. And Clancy's like, I gotta keep Hannah. She's like my girl. She's like you are to Kevin O'Brien. You know how I was me and Kevin when I started at Stampone. Kevin pulled me over because we were friends from law school, and I worked under his dad at Temple Athletics in the marketing department. So, and we had a bond, and so he pulled me over there, and then we're trying cases together, and I'm his girl, and Clancy goes, Hannah's my girl. She's my girl. Just she's like you and Kevin. And I'll never forget that. He was like, I need her.
What was your, so when you start off your path and your pathway, did you went into the public, I read that you were in the public defender's office, not much to do there, right?
Like, never tried any cases at the public defender's office.
Just sit there, play video games all day.
That's exactly right.
Nobody's busy. Yeah. Talk about that experience and you know, the training.
I mean, it's just such important work that they do. We say a lot that on the civil side, you see clients on their worst day, right? Because they're injured or they've experienced some kind of loss. It's the same thing is said for a public defender, right? They are seeing that client on the worst day of their life, one of the worst days. And a lot of times public defenders have to go overcome this inherent distrust because clients will say things like, well, you're not a real lawyer. Meanwhile, the public defenders I worked with are some of the most talented.
Oh, I've heard the same thing. I mean, you know, by you know, lawyers at big name firms going, oh no, they're the best. They know the system. They know the rules. They know the, you know. I mean, you're there every day. I mean, you're busy all day and all night, right?
Correct. And it's just, it's such important work, I think, too, for younger attorneys, whether or not they go to a district attorney's office or a public defender's office, because it's really the only place 1 to 2 years out of law school that you're trying cases. So if you do want to be a trial attorney, you're not, in most firms, in our firm you will, but in most firms you're not going to see a courtroom until you're 3, 4, 5 years out. So if younger attorneys are interested in trial work, I always advise them to try to get a job at a public defender's office or a district attorney's office to see if that's something that they're really comfortable with and what they want to do.
Andrew, you started off doing defense, right?
I did. I started off doing defense work. I worked for the Uninsured Motorist Fund for car in civil. I never did criminal work. I don't know that I'm emotionally stable enough for that type of work, but
right. That
would be my next question to Hannah. Like, how do you do that? It seems like emotionally it must be so challenging.
It was really challenging. And I think that it's hard to not bring that work home with you because clients are so much more than their charges, right? So you get to know the client, you get to know their backstory, you get to know their experience. And a lot of times clients who are charged with theft charges, it's not because they're a bad person and they were stealing because they like to steal.
It's
because they were hungry, right? You know, I also had a lot of fun doing motions to suppress our...
Where did you think you were going, though? Like, what you started there, so obviously you were thinking... Were you thinking the criminal path initially?
I was. The majority of the studying that I did in law school was criminal. I had no ambition or idea that I even would be doing... If you would have asked baby Hannah in law school what she would be doing in 2024, she would have told you that I would probably still be a public defender. So it's weird that life can kind of throw you on this roller coaster.
No question. And and you're on your pathway, Andrea. What took you to the defense? You know, like this area, the civil side.
Where I am now.
Well, when you first started, because that's a path that a lot of really good civil attorneys go. You know.
Well, when I started law school, first of all, I don't know if I say this all the time, but I worked in this very radio station on the fourth floor right here where we are at One Ballot Plaza at the radio stations because out of school I worked for a concert promoter. I went to Temple. I worked in marketing for concert promoters. And then I came over here and I worked at the radio station and then eventually figured you know, I want to work in entertainment. I have to move to New York. I'm not going to move to New York. And I was a political science double major. So then I figured, well, let me try this law school thing. I'll go at night. And I went to law school. And then, like Hannah, I don't have any roots here. I have no family here. I have no friends here. I have no family friends here. I grew up closer to New York. So where do you work? Well, wherever you could get a job. And so a family friend had, I would have worked at any law firm. I didn't care. I just wanted some experience while I went to school at night so I could get in at any firm. And it happened to be a personal injury defense firm, and they did mostly asbestos work.
Yeah.
And they also did these, they had a client that was the uninsured motorist fund car accidents. And those were $15,000 cases. And so they just kind of gave me the, you know, the client and said, run with it. Like, it's $15,000. You can't really, those cases aren't so big. They're not going to mess us up. And so I kind of, you know, cut my teeth working on those car accident cases and learned about some of the bigger stuff doing asbestos. But I couldn't, it never sat well with me in my stomach that we were trying to, you know, go into hospital rooms taking depositions of people that are going to die in 11 months with mesothelioma and say that, you know, sorry, we don't have to pay. It wasn't our asbestos.
Yeah, see, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that's tough.
And eventually, you know, then I went to a couple other defense firms and I wanted to give up the practice of law. I did not. First of all, we can tell I'm a little spazzy, billing by every six minute, paying attention to what I've done in 6 minute intervals is not a great thing for my brain. And I was going to go back to the music business. I said, I have a JD. I got divorced. I was like, I'm going to move to New York or LA. I started applying for jobs in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know, they grabbed me. They're like, Andrew, you're a plaintiff's lawyer. Try being a plaintiff's lawyer. Like, really? And so then the second I had my first job being a plaintiff's lawyer and advocating for these people on their worst days that lack the, maybe the sophistication or the, you know, the advocacy that they would have for themselves. And I loved it. And, you know, that's, I've never looked back.
It's definitely interesting when you talk about the pathway. I've often said, and I've said it recently when you talk about justice, okay? Because if you think about this for a second, somebody gets assaulted in a location due to, let's just say, a parking lot that has no lights, right? Okay, and they get assaulted one way or the other, and there's a history there. Let's throw that on top. I have a hard time, you know, with maximum justice. I think I invented that term, by the way. But you'll get
copyright, what, little copyright.
Right, that's right, just so everybody knows. But when somebody gets assaulted, okay, and maybe, you know, it's really bad, and they can't go back to work, okay. There's a criminal case there, and let's just say they catch the perpetrator or whatever, but then there's potentially a civil case, okay? I don't see why, in fact, you know, maximum justice shouldn't take place where this person may never work again. And at that moment, I'm not even talking about emotionally, but let's just say in both cases, like they can never, I think that there should be a situation where the DA's office is calling a Morgan & Morgan or Stampone, O'Brien, Dilsheimer, Holloway, and saying, listen, somebody got assaulted here, okay? And there's a case. And yes, and I'll tell you why. Justice is so important, especially, you know, violent crime and all those things. But you get a DA and the DA, you know, is sitting there saying, well, you know, we're just happy to get justice. Wait a second here. Hold on. That's not the end of justice. Justice is this person recovering everything they can, because the accomplice in that situation is the individual who has had seven, you know, negligent situations, assaults on that property, still won't light the damn place up. And now you have it. Now, you know, so now let's go at, you know, go on in the civil situation. Your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah. Well, think about, what if the parking lot is supposed to have a guard that's supposed to let everybody in, and that guard took a 30-minute break, right, that was not supposed to be happening, and they just left the, you know, the gate open and let the people in, and that's when the assault happened. Well, then that's a very clear-cut civil case that we could definitely pursue and should pursue on behalf of the victim.
I think, too, you know, there should be more of a sharing of information, right? So to your point, there are two types of justice that you just talked about. You talked about criminal justice and you talked about civil justice. Neither will ever put that victim back in the position that they were before this incident happened to them, right? It doesn't matter how much money we're able to get for them. It doesn't matter how much time the perpetrator gets. That individual is forever changed based on this incident that happened in what we're talking about in a parking lot. And I have had really good experiences in the past where I participate in the criminal proceeding. I'll go to the hearings with my client. And because I do have a public defender background, I can take the time to explain to them why it's important that they participate with the district attorney, why it's important that they answer the detective's phone calls, why it's important that they go to every hearing that's that is listed.
But that the interesting part about that is you already have you have the client, so you're going with the client. But I wonder sometimes how many people are unrepresented, don't find out that they had a case, and now they have to go the rest of their life. You know, they can't walk right. They were badly assaulted. And the DA's office didn't tell them that they potentially have a civil case.
Right.
And one, if you heard what I actually said a little while ago, the accomplice.
Right.
The accomplice, to me, is the owner of the building. Now, sometimes it doesn't, you know, sometimes something goes wrong and it was nobody's fault. But let's, you know, for our purposes, let's just say this particular guy, like you just mentioned, Andrea, didn't have, had a security guard. The guy decides to take an extra hour and, you know, or whatever, and leave some individuals unprotected. Now you got a situation. So, what, you know, I mean, that's kind of, you know, where I'm going. You're going in. You have the client. Thank God.
Right. So I think I was responding more so where I think that it's important for a victim to know their rights and to participate if they know that they have a civil case in the aspects of the criminal. Because sometimes clients will think, okay, well, I have a civil attorney. The district attorney is going to do what the district attorney is going to do. I don't want anything to do with that. So more so my point was that it's important for the victim to fully understand what their rights are, both criminally and civilly.
And like she said, the sharing of information would be great. That would be great if, you know, DAs or PDs would pick up the phone and say, hey, I think we could help this person in a civil case. But the best we can do is sit here on the radio and tell people about the options. And I do a lot of speaking at a networking group. I go to a weekly networking group. And when I educate people about what I do, a lot of it oftentimes is, hey, I bet you didn't know that if you got assaulted at a bar, there's more than just that, the police involvement. We might have a case against the bar. I have cases where even a driver was drunk driving and hurt someone. That driver is entitled to a civil claim, potentially. Because in this case, one of my cases, I won't say which one, but my driver was served a mystery drink. He doesn't know what was in it. And then I have another one where the bartender's hitting on my girl. So my girl is a driver and she's planning to just have two drinks with her friend and drive home safely. Okay. And they are, and I know you're going to get hot buttony about this because the dram shop cases, but
I owned a nightclub for 15 years.
Oh, you did? She gets in a car accident.
I don't drink or.
Did you serve mystery drinks at this nightclub?
It was our number one seller. No,
so the guy is hitting on her and he's over serving her to try to maybe he'll go home with her.
I was
going to
say, yeah, he's like, have another drink on me, another one. Yeah.
And he's over pouring. And so it was out of her control and she gets in the car and hurts herself. So a lot of these things people think, oh, you have a DUI, that's it.
So no, in a case like that, do you go against the bar? Are you going the bar and the bartender?
Very hard case, but it's
So
it's
do you
worth
use
it?
Like video surveillance and things like that? Like how do you
sometimes
prove
it depends.
He was hitting on her?
Well, there's
Oh boy, these
you
are hold on.
Yeah.
So we're getting into dram shop.
Brain. Yeah.
Hold on.
When you talk about the crossover with criminal cases,
right,
and
no question
civil
about
cases,
it.
It's dram shop and assault cases are often
by the way, this is a really, really interesting area. Okay, I have a question for both of you about a real live incident that happened at my place. But I just think that, you know, it's so important for people, like you just said, Hannah, to understand their rights, to understand that if you have a criminal case out there, you may have, and so when you're listening and you have two firms in this room right here that, literally speaking are going the distance, okay? And I always say this, and when we talk about these situations, and Stampone is no different, but a lot of people won't realize this, is that you need a firm that has the resources to go to distance.
100%.
Now, a lot of people who get injured, little, you know, regular Joe like me may not know that. So, you know, Bob's cousin, Tim's sister, you know, Bianca's got a friend whose name is Tina, who's a lawyer. I'll tell you what, hook me up and, you know, and but maybe Tina's fantastic. And she's going to what do we say, meddle in PI for a minute here,
right.
Okay?
Dabble.
Dabble. That's dabble. She's going to dabble because she's going to do so-and-so a favor, but you don't realize that she may have a one-person shop. She does great landlord-tenant work, but when you're going up against major companies, you know the old saying, you know, David versus Goliath. Well, mm-hmm. Not in your case.
And that's another great thing about our firm is that they do give us the resources to make sure that we're properly taken care of.
Which means what does that mean to a listener? That, you know, experts, all those things. You can spare no expense, you know, to represent your client.
Right, and we also want to make sure that every kind of theory of liability. So, to your point, when we're talking about the security guard that left, right, to go take a break for an hour in the parking lot, we want to make sure that we have a viable claim against the company that employed him, the property owner. So we'll retain the right experts to make sure that any and all claims that you might have against any accomplice for this incident is properly investigated, and then we have the evidence to support it.
And in your case, at Stampone?
I mean, it's a lot of times that the experience that we have along with the resources allow us to get better results, exhaust every dollar that every option available, get every dollar that might be on the table. And also some of these law firms that, you know, a corner law firm, I say, where they'll do your divorce and write your will and they could do a rear end car accident. They might not know about some of these claims that are new. There's new law that allows us to argue
right.
This one extra thing. And I'll just give an example, you know, that we tried a case last year where my client got hurt and there was, you know, $1.3 million of coverage in the cars. And some lawyers might have just stopped there. And we pursued a claim against the employer because there was a little extra information at the scene that, you know, made us think that there was a claim against the employer, and we ended up getting a $5 million verdict in addition to the $1.3 million. But that person that didn't know about this hole in the law, and you know, somebody that dabbles in personal injury, they probably would have been, here's $1.3 million and been happy with that and moved on to the next case.
Here's something interesting that I found out with my own policy. My wife, our insurance, my life insurance policy, my wife said to me that, you know, She's like, I think something's up with how we're paying and changed or whatever. And then I found out that I have an accident policy above my regular, which I didn't even know about. Like, in other words, my wife handles it all. So
smart lady.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm looking at it. It's like $20. And I'm like, I got it when I was 57. It's for like $500,000. And my point is, people, you know, they don't know what they have. A lot of individuals.
So it's too late sometimes. It's really unfortunate. I have a woman that was half paralyzed, and she had a $15,000 policy, and that's what she's entitled to get. Like, it's wow.
But it's an accident. But mine's an accident, which means that if I get in an accident, right? And my wife had forgotten, Hannah, immediately, I could see her chicklets. I see her eyes going. So if you get in an accident, how do you define an accident?
Oh, my God.
It doesn't have to be a negligent accident. If I fall down the steps or something, I'm like, yeah, no, that part of it expired, hon. I have a really a pressing question I'm going to ask just of a situation that happened at our nightclub. But before I do, I want to bring in Alexis, because I want to talk a little bit about Weinerman Pain and Wellness for making this broadcast possible. Talk about the practice and what you guys do.
Yeah, so Dr. Weinerman, he's been in practice for it's 42 years now, which is crazy. He's had Weinerman Pain and Wellness for 10 years. We specialize in cases that are just represented by attorneys. If you are hurt and don't have an attorney, I can help you. I have tons of wonderful relationships with attorneys, like the two women in this room right now. We do, like I said before, chiropractic care, physical therapy, pain management, and then psychology as well. Because as being in this business for only 8 months, I've learned that all pain is not seen. And I think when you're at such a vulnerable place in your life, whether you're not able to work, provide the means for your family, or you're hurt, you don't have a car, you don't have the life that you had before you were injured, I think it's super important and valuable to the case if able.
And we know Dr. Weinerman, obviously I go back pretty far with the doc, he's not one of them doctors that you're just going to go there and spend 10 minutes with. You know, he can be incredibly detailed.
Yeah, spends over an hour and a half with the patient, which I think is super important because he creates that relationship with them.
So transportation, if there's clients that are having an issue with transportation?
Yeah, so we do Uber, SEPTA passes, and then if they do drive, we validate their parking as well. And we do the Ubers for the specialist appointments as well. So if they have to see a neuro or any type of referral specialist that the lawyer wants them to see, we provide the transportation for them.
Convenience for attorneys when you're working with clients as far as compliance, reports, testimony if need be?
Yeah, I'm the main contact for the attorneys. So anything they need, medical records, billing, any questions regarding that, I give my cell phone out and I try and be as in a timely manner as possible.
So having said that, I had a situation.
Let's hear it.
This is, I was in that business for 15 years. Massive place in Center City. Okay. We had a liquor license in our family. Then we got a call one day. Our uncle said, you want to take over the social club? And I said, nah, I don't think so. Then my brother called me and said, well, listen, you know, the club's been there for 100 years. We'll be the only after-hours club. I don't even drink. I never, to this day, even tried marijuana, right? So I'm like, you know what? I called them back. I said, you know what? I'll give it a shot. So anyway, long story short, it was in our neighborhood. We took it downtown. And it was on 2nd Street between Spring Garden and Cow Hill. We were there 14 years. So it's a stressful business, to say the least. I mean, but good for a marriage. My wife loved it. She wants me to get in again. That's a joke, right? You need another lawyer for that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, and that psychologist you were talking about, that would have came in handy.
Yes. Yes, so, I agree.
But it was the craziest thing. Now, tell me if this is a case, aside from, you know, I've done depositions, and we brought defense attorneys in here, and they get nervous because they think we're going to attack them. I'm like, bro, I've been on your side plenty of time. You talk about dram shop. As soon as you start talking about that, Alexis, and your questions, I was like, let's just take this show and go in that direction. But one time, it was a Saturday night. I was thinking to myself, so we used to have these birthday party packages. And so, and you could call and you can pre-order stuff. Okay, you pre-order big food packages. So we would have dozens of birthday parties. So it was a Saturday night. We're packed a major line outside. And I was like, and I hear a siren. And I'm like, well, I always say a little prayer when I hear a siren. But at least they're not coming here. Thank God. And here it comes down 2nd Street. And I'm at the, you know, just watching things outside. We got a big security staff. And I'm watching it go past me, and I'm going, and it comes right in my parking lot, right? And I'm like, what? And so a security guard comes outside and said, we got a problem. And I'm like, of course we do. Of course we do. Right. I was just ecstatic that things are going perfect. But he said, somebody, I don't think she's going to make it. I said, what do you mean? She had an allergic reaction to food.
Oh.
So we have a big cater. It's a big catering, you know, room and all that. So next thing you know, they bring her out. They put her in the ambulance. It's going back and forth. Like, and I'm out there, and I heard. So about 15 minutes later, they come out, and I said, "Is she going to make it?" And they went, "Who's who going to make it?" And I'm like, the lady in the ambulance. She goes, "She's fine. She's up right now." They gave her some. She had an allergic reaction. Okay, but they were able to help her. Thank God.
Right. Well,
listen to this. About 2 seconds later, some lady runs out my door and says, you have coconut in your shrimp. So she had an allergic reaction to my food.
Right.
Okay. And is that... the first thing I said, because I'm not in charge of the food, is I looked, I turned around, I said, what's the... Because the club was called Fusion at the time. I said, what's the shrimp called? Because we pre-book everything.
is it called coconut shrimp?
And it was
shrimp?
Called coconut shrimp on the menu?
Yes. Oh, no. I said, is it called fusion shrimp, right? You know, is it like, right, in other words, that we sure. that we put an alert, a food in there that, you know, like we didn't disclose or something like that. But no, it was called coconut shrimp. It was pre-ordered. The lady's in my face, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm trying to hold, you know, I mean, you know, and that was okay. I got it. She was emotional. And, but is that, if now, if that lady passes, you know, if she would have passed away, it's called coconut shrimp. She has an allergy to it. Is that a lawsuit against me?
So what's a lawsuit and what's a recovery are two different things.
Yeah.
Sure, they could sue you. I think it's, as every lawyer will tell you, the favorite answer is it depends. It's
right.
fact specific. Did she go up to your kitchen? Because now just because it's on the order sheet, it doesn't mean that when the food was placed out that everybody was aware of the ingredients. And this was probably 20 years ago before.
No, it was about 10, sure.
10 years ago. But I think that everybody's a lot more sensitive. Now, you go to a table now at a lot of restaurants, they'll say, are there any dietary restrictions
yeah,
that we
right.
should know about at the table.
Exactly.
When I was waiting, when I was in law school and I worked at Park, I mean, for Steven Starr, we had all the training in the world. But I don't know that it was required for us to say that at every table.
Mm-mm.
And I think that now it's a little different. But back then, so it depends. Did she go and make anybody aware of this allergy and say, hey, can I have that shrimp? Or was there a sign that said coconut shrimp? Then no.
What I had heard right after that there was a fight In right next to the hallway, the women's names were Alexis, Andrea, and Hannah. And ladies, that's why I brought you here today.
Yeah.
It's because you were fighting over the coconut shrimp.
Yeah. Exactly.
I really wanted the coconut shrimp.
That is something I may get in a fist fight over. Shrimp are my favorite food.
Yeah, no, I'll go right with you there. Listen, lady, I don't care. Now, I want to ask Alexis one question. What, so you don't laugh at me. What's the next topic? What am I going to ask next?
Oh, contingent fee.
Well, wait, let me tell you one more thing about food poisoning, because yeah. I was successful
Here
in a food
comes.
Poisoning case once.
Okay.
And a client called me, and for no cost at all, they signed my agreement, and I was able to, she had ordered Chinese food, and they had said on the call, she's allergic to nuts or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah.
She's served food with nuts. She goes into anaphylactic shock. She goes to the hospital. She recovers. But we still were able to get a recovery in that case.
Wait, really?
Just for the act of being hospitalized and going into anaphylactic shock. It's not huge damages. You're not
no,
getting $1 million. But
that happened to me. And
yeah,
I didn't even think to do that.
You absolutely
so,
can try to make
yeah.
a claim, depending on how fact-specific it is. They asked several times.
So did we, yeah.
You know, and the person, the Chinese place should have known, and they knew, and they didn't care.
Wow.
They served her the food. And so it is a cause of action. But, you know, in that case, do you want $7,000 or do you want to be alive? You know what I mean?
No,
no,
absolutely. I think it's just crazy because you just don't think about those things.
Let's go around the horn real quick, and since you brought it up, Alexis, I never would have brought
I know,
it up.
You never would've.
People might be listening. They want to know how much out-of-pocket cost it's going to cost them to get attorneys like yourself. You just read your resume, and somebody's sitting there going, I can't afford her.
And wait, I think Hannah has one of the top verdicts of the on the state of Pennsylvania from last year. I was like number 21, and she's way ahead of me. I think she's top
Let's
five.
Hear about it.
Go ahead.
Wow.
So Clancy Boylan and I, the very non-Irish man that you've had on
yeah,
your show before.
Yeah, short little guy.
Short guy, shorter than me. We had a jury verdict in Philadelphia County for a client that was a tractor-trailer driver that was injured by another tractor-trailer driver. The jury verdict came back at $26.2
million. Wow.
And I think it was the fifth highest verdict in the state of Pennsylvania.
I think
it
was.
Wow.
Not that I'm counting. I'm like, I'm number 21.
She's moving up. She's moving up this year.
On those lines, guess who's buying lunch today, huh? Here we go. Should never mention.
That's exactly.
Fancy
it's coconut shrimp for everybody.
Yeah.
Having said that, you know, the contingent fee is a big deal because people don't have to pay out of
right.
their pocket. Talk about it.
So what a contingency fee is, it means that I don't bill you by the hour. So we were talking about this 0.6 increments that you have to bill at when you're a defense attorney. A lot of times clients think that there's like an hourly price or you have to put up a certain amount of money like a retainer. We don't recover unless we recover for you. So what that means is that you don't have to pay me anything until I recover for you, so, meaning until you get money.
Right. And so if there is no money, which is rare, they don't, nothing out of pocket. And if there's expensive experts, no out of pocket costs.
Correct.
Same with Stamp Home.
Same thing with us, Joe. You don't have to pay a dollar, and you can get these top, you know, we're ranked in the state, just top lawyers, top verdicts. We are, you know, I think that we are like top tier of what we do. We treat every client like family, even though we have these great statistics. And it's not like, oh, that lawyer's too good. I'll never afford them.
Right.
You have the option. You can still work with us.
What should clients expect, you know, when they retain a Morgan & Morgan and a Stamp Home?
So I think that the great thing about our office is that you know what to expect by the time that you sign the fee agreement, right? So there will be somebody that calls you and walks through what each step is in the pre-suit, right? So before you file a lawsuit, we call it pre-suit. So during that initial claim phase where we're building the foundation of your case, either if I'm the attorney assigned or if one of my colleagues are the attorney assigned, we tell you what to expect. We also keep in contact with you on a regular basis, so you're never left wondering what's happening with your case. You're never wondering why. A lot of times, too, with smaller practices, you're like, well, why haven't I heard from my attorney? Like, what is going on with my case? We understand that client communication is important, so we make sure that we keep in contact with you throughout that. And then if and when we file a lawsuit for your case, I have a very long conversation with my clients about what each stage means so that they know what to expect and that we're partners in this process.
And that's my next question. Mm-hmm. That first conversation, when it comes to when you're going to actually take the case, talk about the importance of that, because these cases don't just resolve over in 5 minutes. I mean, talk about setting expectations, the ebbs and flows.
Sure. Yeah. And I tell clients that, listen, I hope you recover in a couple of months. I don't want you to get money from a lawsuit. It's not worth it. Like having a lifelong injury to have a big case, it's not worth it. You have to give me a percentage. You have to live through the pain. I want you to recover in a couple of months. Hopefully we can submit your medical records pre-suit, get you a decent settlement to make up for the time and the inconvenience and walk away, you know, free and clear. Now, that's
wishful thinking sometimes.
Wishful thinking. And I say to them, I got to tell you, it's maybe 20% of my clients. The other 80% come back and a year down the road, they're still in pain. They're still dealing with their pain management plan. And if that's the case, you know, we're lucky we've laid the foundation this whole year. And sometimes it's going to take longer, but you'd be really mad at me if I settled your case last year before you started getting lifelong injections or trying all these different pain management things. I need to know that you're 95% better if you are still hurt before I can settle your case and get you the full amount. But if you're somebody that like works really hard, you don't want to be inundated, feeling like people are looking over your shoulder, well, then I can work with you like on that too. You know, we can say, we're about to file a lawsuit. Here's their best offer. What do you think? I try to really work specifically with the person and what makes them comfortable. I'm not going to tell them what to do with their bodies. I'm not going to tell them, you know, what they have to do for the case. It's not that. Let's follow your body and let's see what the best is for each specific person.
Alexis, if you were a little bit about what people can expect at Weinerman.
Yeah, there's no fee.
You're working with injured workers and injury victims.
Yes, there's
so they're out of
no
pocket
charge.
And you work with the attorneys?
Yep, exactly. There's no charge. And I think that's one thing that the patients, like when they get their first call, they're like, oh, how much do I owe? And there's nothing.
Yeah, and it's important, obviously, to have a network of individuals that will work with individuals on terms that, because a lot of times these cases take some
years.
Time. They take time. Let's do this. Let's go around the horn. Little contact information, if you will. Your contact information, if someone wants to get in touch with you at the firm, Hannah.
Yes. So I'm going to spell my last name. So it's Hannah, like a palindrome, like race car, H-A-N-N-A-H, and then Molitoris, M-O-L-I-T-O-R-I-S. My email address is hmolitoris@forthepeople.com.
Awesome. If you will, Alexis Crandall, contact information if somebody wants to get in touch at the practice.
Yeah, so it's A. Crandall, C-R-A-N-D-A-L-L, at WeinermanPainAndWellness.com. And then my phone number is 484-356-6666.
Fantastic. And our host, Andrea Sasso.
Andrea Sasso. You can reach me and my co-host, Kristen Buttle, at Stampone Law. asasso@stamponelaw.com is the email. You can call us at 215-663-0400. And we are, I think, answering phones every minute of every day, or email me on the weekend, nights. Yep. We're there for you.
Well, and the intake process is vitally important.
I mean, it is.
You know, that people know that they can be serviced at any time, correct?
And as much information as possible.
Absolutely. Right. So it's been a fantastic show. We got about a minute left. Any parting words? From a little shout out to Kristen Buttle.
Shout out to Kristen Buttle. She's probably very happy about the Eagles game yesterday.
Yes,
yeah, I'm not. I'm
and you know, go Yankees. I am. You know, it's just a rebuilding year for the Giants. Another one. No. So whatever.
Well, you know what? We wish you all well, except one day.
Did you
two
think
days
about
year.
That shirt when you were putting that shirt on this morning? Were you like, I'm going to wear green just to make Andrea upset?
No, I don't believe it or not. I don't have great light in my room, and I just grabbed anything. You know, so I guess that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you, yeah, Hannah.
With the matching Super Bowl hat.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tyler in our producer's booth. I want to thank, of course, Hannah Malatouris from
Morgan and Morgan.
Of course, Alexis Crandall from Weinemann Pain and Wellness, and, of course, Andrea Sasso from Stampone, O'Brien, Dilsheimer, and Holloway. For all being fantastic. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Doherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.